Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Nun. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Elsi Haino, Moras Elta Elka Bas Rav Tzvi Hirsch. All the Nishomas we learned for Shavu Aliyah from our learning. We're beginning on Nun Omer Aleph, three lines from the top, with the third of the three statements that Rabbi Eloi made about a Takana in Usha. Now, the first one was Rabbi Eloi in the name of Reish Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda or Chanina. The second one was just Rabbi Eloi in the name of Reish Lakish, and the third one is just Rabbi Eloi himself. At least that's the Girsa that the Bavli has. The Yerushalmi has all of them in the same Lashon of Amar Rabbi Eloi, Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda bar Chanina. In any event, that will be somewhat important in a moment when we get to the conclusion of the third statement. But here's the third statement. Again, three lines from the top, Nun Omud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Eloi told us, Be'usha Skinu, when the Sanhedrin was in Usha, they were making the following takana, and they said, Hamavazvez, if somebody is going to give away their money to Tztaka, there are limits. Ayivazvez Yosef Yichomish. They're not allowed to give more than a fifth of their money to Tztaka. And now's not the time, but if anybody's looking for a heterim for this, there's ways that you can give more money than a fifth to tzedakah. For example, if a person's on his deathbed and doesn't have any need for the money, then he can give away more. The person is fabulously wealthy, so then even if he gives away 95% of his money, he'll still be more than enough to take care of himself. He's allowed to give more. So if people want coolers, there's always coolers that you can give to give more tzedakah. But in general, for the average person, you shouldn't give more than a fifth of your money to tzedakah. Tosus explains this means, in the second Tosus, Ayavazves, he says, in the Yerushalmi, the first Yerushalmi, Shepam Rishona, Yechol Avazves Chomish, the first time you can give a fifth of the total principal you have. A person has $100, he can give away $20. And then in subsequent years, then he gives away a fifth of the money that he made, so the interest that he made. So if the $80 earned $20 the next year, so he can give a fifth of that revach of the $20 that he earned, so he'd only get $4 the next year. So that's the underlying principle that Tosus explains. What does it mean, a fifth? And in addition, we have a general rule that the normal amount that a person gives is a tenth. And we'll see that's Maser Aser Nulach that we'll have in a moment. And that's also the source that we learn out that you can give up to 20%. So this was the takana that they did in Usha, Amavazvez, Ayavazvez, Yosef, Michomish. A person shouldn't give away more than a fifth of his money to stock. The Brisa supports what Rabbi Eloi said. The Brisa says the exact same thing, that a person shouldn't give away more than a fifth of their money to tzedakah. And the reasoning is, Shemo Yitztarech Labrios, because if a person gives away so much of his money, let's say a person is not such a rich person, and he gives away 80% of his money, so then he's going to be left to tzedakah to support himself, and that's not something that's proper. Because this way, if he gives away too much of his money, he's going to have to rely upon the public coffers to go and support him, and that's not right. Then the Brisa tells us, Umaisa, once it was Umaisa Shoyo, Be'echot Shebikesh Lavazvez Yosef Michomesh, that's what the Mashal adds, the words Yosef Michomesh. And there was a situation where a person wanted to give more than a fifth of his money to tzedakah. Lo iniach lo chaveru, and his friend didn't let him do this. And who is this friend? Umanu, Rabbi Yeshevav. According to the first version, Rabbi Yeshevav didn't allow the other person to give more than a fifth of his money to tzedakah. Alternatively, Yami Lo, the second version is that it was Rabbi Yeshevav was the one who wanted to give more than a fifth of his money to tzedakah. Lo inicho chaveru, and his friend didn't let him, Rabbi Yeshevav, give the money. And who was that friend? Umanu, Rabbi Akiva. That was Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Rav Nachman, Vitam Rav Achba Yaakov, the next Gemara continues and says, Rav Nachman or Rav Achba Yaakov says, what's the source that you shouldn't give more than a fifth? Mikra. So he says, the Pasuk, the famous Pasuk, the Chol Asher Titen Li, Aser Aserenu Loch. We know that, of course, Yaakov Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you help me out, then I will give one-tenth of my money to Tzedakah, Aser Aserenu Loch. So this drasha of Nachman or Rav Achba Yaakov said, is teaching us that you can give up to a fifth. The simple understanding is you should give a ten. But it's double lashon of aser, asrenu, so aser is a tenth, and asrenu is a tenth, and therefore two tenths is a fifth. That's where we get the source. More questions, it says, v'alo dame isura basra l'isura kama. The second tenth is not the same as the first tenth. So again, let's give examples. A person has $100, and he gives a tenth to tzedakah the first time, so then he's left with 90. Now if he gives a tenth of 90, that's only $9. So instead of him giving $20 to tzedakah, if he gives a tenth and then a tenth, he's only giving $19 to tzedakah. So the second tenth is not the same as the first tenth. So how do you get a fifth? 19 out of 100 is not a fifth. It's close to a fifth, but it's not a fifth. So Rashi explains, the word asrenu means I will give the same one-tenth that I gave the first time as the second one-tenth as well. Le basra, ki kama. The second one-tenth will be the same as the first one-tenth, so it really is a tenth and a tenth. $10 and $10, which would be $20, which is a fifth of $100. Okay. Mark continues and says, there were these three statements that Rabbi Loi made that were takanos from Usha, when the Sanhedrin was in Usha. So I'm Rav Shimon Rashi said, Ushmuas halalu mismatos hochos. The way to remember that the first one was Rav Eloi in the name of Reish Lakish, the name of Rav Yehuda or Rav Yosef Yochanina, and the second one was just Rav Eloi in the name of Reish Lakish, and the third one was just Rav Eloi. So it's that they go down from three to two to one names, mismatos hochos. And the way to remember this is Simonech, kitanim kosvu uvizvuvu. Now, this refers to the three takanos. We had in yesterday's shiur that the first takana of Usha was the ketanim. Usha hiskinu she adam zon es bonav yes benosav shim ketanim. The idea that you're supposed to support your children when they're young. Then the second takana of Usha, Usha hiskinu hakosiv kol nechasa levonav hu vishto nizonim mehem. If you give away all of your money, estate planning to your children, so they have to support you. And the third one is the one we just learned right now. Hamavazi zayivazi yosim yichomesh. So that's this simon kitanim, that's the first one, you support your kitanim. Kosru, the man wrote over to his children, and the children have to support the man of Israel, that they shouldn't go and give more than a fifth of tzedakah. Now, I pointed out before, the Yerushalmi actually has all three of them set over by Rabbi Loi, in the name of Reish Lakish, the name of Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi by Chanina. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak, the market teacher says, Rabbi Yitzchak told us another takana from Usha. Usha is kinu, she odim is galgel in mino, at shtei misrei shana. A person should be misgalgel in mino. Rashi says, misgalgel in mino means, in misariv milomot, if your child's not such an interested student, he just doesn't want to learn. So you galgel imo benacha, so roll along with him, go and deal with him in a calm and patient way, with dvar merachim, and with soft words. Don't be harsh and don't be angry at this child if he doesn't wish to go and learn. However, that's only when he's very young. That's until he's 12 years of age. Mikan ve'elach, but when he's more than 12 years old, so then, yoridim olachayev, then you go and take him to task. Rashi says very strongly, yoridim olachayev means l'radoso b'ritzua. You take out the strap and you go and hit him. Now, I don't think that that is considered to be appropriate chinuch today. In the times of Rashi, in the times of Gemara, the famous statement from Mishlei, if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. So that isn't the way that we do chinuch today with physical punishment. Great mechanchim of our time, Rav Obi, for example, Zatzal, said that today you have to embrace them with love. It's a different world, a different generation. In any event, the bottom line is that even today you can be taking out the strap in the metaphorical sense, that you have to give tough love. So that still is very true. And Rashi continues, and he says, in addition to that, so uvuchos alechem, so don't give them all the delicacies. You've got to punish them sometimes with taking away their bread even. So therefore, that is the a proper approach that they were masakin in Usha, that when they're young, then you're very, very gentle with them. But when they reach 12 years of age, so then you got to go and teach them the importance of Torah. And if they're not so willing, you got to be very tough with them. Tough love. However, there's more questions. It says, really, Ini? Is that really the case? Va'omar lei Rav. L'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rashi tells us that Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was a Rebbe. He was a Rebbe of children. Milami Tinokos Haya. So he was giving him professional advice. And he told him, Bitzir mi bar shis, if the children are younger than 6 years of age, lo sekabel. Don't take them as students. In other words, they're too young. And bar shis, if they're 6 years of age, then kabel, then you're allowed to go and take them. Usvele kisora, and force feed them, so to say, like with an ox. As Rashi says, haliteyu Torah kishor shato malito v'ovso maicho, that you force feed an ox in order to fatten it up. So you should force feed the children in order to fatten them up with Torah. So that's when they're 6 years old. So that goes against what we just said, that until 12 years old, don't be too harsh with them. Here it seems to say, until 6, don't be harsh with them, but from 6 to 12, you can be harsh with them, force feed them. So Gemara says, no, there is no contradiction. Yes, in Svele Kisora, you're supposed to go and force feed them when they're 6 years of age. However, do it very gently. Miu, and Uyaredimo, Lechayev, but only make their lives miserable, so to say, give them a strong, tough love approach, Ad L'Achar Shtei Seshona. Until, when they're 12 years old and they're still not learning nicely. So you try to force feed them when they're 6 years old to 12 years old and give them as Torah as they can, but if they don't accept it, so then you're still very gentle and nice. But at 12 years old, that's when push comes to shove and you have to go and really force them to go and learn Torah. V'baisem, alternatively, another way to reconcile the two seemingly opposite statements is in the following way. V'baisem, lokasha, ha'lemikro, ha'lemishta. When you're supposed to teach, as we said, in the statement that Rav said to Roshua Bar Shilas, is when they're 6 years old and up, you can go and force feed them. That's when it deals with Chumash. And that which we said, don't really force them to learn until they're 12 years old, that's in regards to Mishnah. And the Amar Abayi, we can see that Abayi says the same idea. Amar Liyem, he says his mother taught him, and as we mentioned many, many times, every time we say Amar Liyem, for Abayi, his father never died shortly after conception, and his mother died in childbirth, so he was raised by this governess, this maidservant, this aim that he's referring to throughout Shas. In any event, Abayi said that that's what his governess, this aim, told him. Bar Shis, a six-year-old child, should be learning Mikra, should be learning Chumash. Bar Esel, a Mishnah, when they reach 10 years of age, they should learn Mishnah. Bar Tleisar, when they reach into what would be their 13th year, again, a lot of different explanations as to whether this means that they're Bar Mitzvah or really in the year before they're Bar Mitzvah. So then, L'tanisa Meisleis, then they have to go and start fasting, as Rashi says, L'sanos Kol Hayom. But in the preceding 2 years before their bar mitzvah, so then you only do it for a couple of hours, as the Gemara in Yuma tells us. And for girls, then 12 years old, Rashi brings down that the girls, they get more mature and stronger faster, so therefore they become gedolos at the age of 12, whereas a boy takes till the age of 13. And Rashi says, because the Torah learning of the boy, and therefore, the boys take a little bit longer to physically mature because the Torah weakens them. Okay, there are a number of different ways to learn this. We just learned it nice and simple. Okay, Amar Abayi. Abayi says another statement that his governess taught him, Amar Liyem, my mother, the governess said, Hi Bar Shis, if a six-year-old child, the Tarkole Akraba, was bitten by a scorpion, so then Biyoma, the Mishlam Shis, if the child is already a full 6 years old, he's Mishlam Shis, he's finished off his 6 years, Lochai, he will not survive. No, the Gemara says, Maya Susei, how do you go and treat this? What's the proper treatment for a scorpion bite in a child who's 6 years old? So, Mirarta is the bile of the Daya. Daya is a certain bird. It's mentioned in Parsha Shmini, and in this week's Parsha Su'ei, the Daya is usually translated, Rashi says, as a vulture. This is a certain bird, and he gives a foreign word for it, Veshtu, which is translated usually as the vulture, the chivarta, that's white, so a white vulture, you take the bile from the white vulture, and you mix it b'shichra with beer, and then nishafye, you go and rub it on the child, and the nashkai, and then you drink it. So you rub it on the child, and then have the child drink it, and that's the cure. Again, we've mentioned many times, we don't follow the remedies and the therapeutics of the Gemara, we don't fully understand them, they may not have worked, nishtana teva, and bottom line is, we don't paskin medicine from the Gemara. Now, that's the way Rashi understands it, that this is the treatment. Tosa says that, the Gemara says that, lo chai, you're not going to live, so there obviously is no treatment. So Maya Suse, when the Gemara says Maya Suse, it's a little bit dochak, but Tosa says, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, shlo yishchenu. This is the way to make sure that a scorpion doesn't bite you. If you go put this bile on the belly and you drink it, so the scorpion's going to stay away from you. So Tosa says it's a prophylaxis. It's a mechanism to prevent you from getting bitten, because once you get bitten, it's too late. But Rashi says, no, this is the remedy if you do get bitten. Bar continues with another story, Hai Bar Shasa. Now, this is translated as a one-year-old child, but others have the gears over here, Hai Bar Shisa, that it's also talking about a six-year-old child. The Tarik Le Zibur, that was bitten by a bee. So, Bioma, the Mishlam Shata, if it's at the end of that first year or the end of 6 years, Lochai, it won't survive as well. So, Gmar again says, Maya Sute, how do you go cure this? That would be the way Rashi would understand this. Told to say, how do you go prevent it from getting bee bites? So, he says, Atsavso the Diklo, you take the companionship of the palm tree, which is the part that's surrounding the palm tree, and you dunk that in Bimaya. And then, when you have this combination of the Tsavso the Diklo and the water, so Nishvaye, you rub some of it into the baby or the 6-year-old child, the Nashkai, and then you have them drink it at the same time, and that will be the cure for this illness, or it will prevent this illness from occurring. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Katina. Rav Katina tells us, Kol HaMachnis is b'no pachos miben sheish. If you bring your less than 6-year-old child to the Beis Medrash to learn, Rotz Achra v'enu magio, so then he's going to, unfortunately, not be able to go and keep up with the other kids, because he's too young at that point to learn, and what's going to happen is, if he's going to be brought to the Beis Medrash at that young age, Rashi says, Rotz Achra v'lav roso v'lach yoso. he's going to be sick because he's too young, and he's going to not be healthy enough, and he's not going to be able to keep up with the older boys when he reaches the age of six. When they're all in base medrash, he's going to be sickly, and he won't be able to learn. Alternatively, he could Amre, no, this is a great idea. Chaveirav, Rotz and Achrav. When he said Rotz Achrav, it means the friends will run after him, they won't be able to keep up with him because he had a head start in them, Bein Magino, so, and they'll never reach the levels of Torah that he's able to reach because he started at a younger age than all of them. So we seemingly have two totally opposite opinions. One says that he's going to be behind, and the other one says he's going to be ahead. So Gemara says, V'tarvayu is no, and both are correct. It all depends on the type of child. Chalish v'gomir, both of them will come true. The child will be weakened because he started learning Torah at early age. However, he's going to be so superior to the others because he started at earlier age, so he'll be gomir. He'll be very successful in his learning. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, everybody say, hadu kachish, hadu bari. It depends on the child. A weak child, you're right. That child, if you make him learn Torah, that will even weaken him further, he's going to run into trouble. And he's going to be sickly, and so sickly that he won't be able to keep up with the other kids. But if the kid is a healthy kid to start with, so then if you start him earlier, he'll be able to tolerate the Torah's mateshes kocho, and he'll become such a great gaon because he started earlier than everybody else. Mark continues, says, I'm Rabbi Yossi Barachanino, B'Yusha's Kinu. Another takana that they made in Usha, according to Rabbi Yossi Barachanino, was, Ha'isha Shemachra B'nichse Milug, B'chaye Bala, U'meisa Ha'bal Motzi Miyad Alekuchos. So that was a mouthful, so let's explain it slowly. If a woman who's married, and she brought into the marriage Nichse Milug, now the Nichse Milug, the husband has the entitlement to go and have the payros for the Nichse Milug. So let's say she brought in a field. It's not Nichse Tzom Barzo. Nichse Tzom Barzo are different. They belong to the husband, and he just guarantees. Let's say this field is worth $1,000, and it's Nichse Tzom Barzo, so he has to give back $1,000 for this field, whether it went up in price or goes down in price. We're not talking about Nichse Tzom Barzo. We're talking about Nichse Milug. Those belong to the woman. But the husband has what we call the rights of usufruction, that the husband has the rights to go and eat the peris from that field. So anything that grows in that field belongs to the husband. But the woman owns the field. The husband never owns the field. The field goes up, it goes up for the woman's benefit. If it goes down, it goes down on the woman's benefit. She loses out. In any event, that's called nechse melog. It's allowed to be used by the husband for the produce. So this woman owns this field. So she sells it in the life of her husband. Now, the husband, she can't sell the usufruction rights, so the husband will still get the payros. But this person is gambling. This person who bought it is probably buying it at a discount, because if the woman dies first, so then, as we'll see, it goes to her husband, and he won't get anything. But if the husband dies first, so then the woman gives over the field retroactively. This man now bought the field a few years ago. In any event, what they were masakin in Usha is this din, that the husband is entitled to the field if the wife dies first. When she sells her nichse milug, technically that's a sale, and the husband only inherits it later on, but it's not his to inherit. So they made a takana, if the woman dies, umeisa, the baal, her husband, motzi miyad lekuchos. The one that she sold it to, he will be able to, the husband will be able to take it from the one that she sold it to. The din should have been that, no, he was a prior purchaser, and the husband's Yerusha rights only kick in later on. So what the takana of Usha was, that we view his rights in that property, which is technically only if the woman dies, to be at the time of the marriage. And therefore, she sells it after the marriage started, so then the lekuchos, the ones who bought it from her, are considered a second lien. The husband has the first lien on it. That's what they were sakin in Usha. Maisa Shahaya, Ashkei Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef or Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef once met up with Rabbi Avo, the Havakai Biuchlusa de Usha. He was with a large group of people in Usha. Others have the Girsa, the Inshe, that he was with a large group of people. Okay. Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef asked Rabbi Avo, Amalei, man, mara, the Shmaisa de Usha, who was the one who said this Takana of Usha, Hisha Shavacha Vidixim Lub, Chayabalo, Mesa, Ba Motzi Yad Lukuchos. So Amalei, so Rabbi Avo told him, this was Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. As we had said, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, he was the one that said this. So Tani Minei Arbon Zimnin, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef was so impressed with this, so he learned this din from Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, that it was Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's din 40 times. Others explain, no, he learned the din 40 times. In any event, he did this, so he shouldn't forget it. The Domilei, and once he learned it 40 times, it appeared to him, Kiman de manchle bekisse. It was as if it was in his pocket. In other words, he had it solid. And once he learned it 40 times, he would review it furthermore, like it was in his pocket, and therefore, he always had this in his pocket. In other words, it was well understood. Mark continues the darshan, some other psukim. Gemara says, Ashrei Shomri Mishpat Osei Tzedaka B'chleis. Pasuk from Tehillim tells us that Ashrei is very praiseworthy, those people that are Shomri Mishpat, they watch out for justice, and Osei Tzedaka B'chleis. We're going to focus on the last part, Osei Tzedaka B'chleis. They're doing tzedaka at all times. Now, how is it possible for a person to do tzedaka 24-7? You're telling me in this pasuk in Tehillim that a person can do tzedaka 24-7. How do you do tzedaka 24-7? So Darshu Rabbi Seinu should be Yavda. When the Chazal were in Yavda, the Sanhedrin was in Yavda, they dashed in the following way. Others say it was Omrei Lei Rabbi Eliezer. There was Rabbi Eliezer who was the one that said this. Who can do tztaka 24-7? That we say about them, Osei tztaka b'chaleis, Zahazon banav uvnosav, kishein kitanim. This is a person who supports his children when they're young. As we learned in yesterday's year, until the age of 6, the father has an obligation. But beyond the age of 6, the father doesn't have an obligation. So if a person supports his children beyond the age of 6, that's what it's referring to here is kitanim. So then, he's doing tzedakah at all times. As Rashi points out, in Dibur HaMaschol, Ha'azeh HaZon Banav V'nosu Kitanim, Shetomid Yom V'layla, every single second of the day and night, Hein Olav, he's responsible for them. And therefore, when he has them sleep in bed, well, he's supporting them. When they're eating breakfast, he's supporting them. When they're eating lunch, he's supporting them. When he's paying tuition for them in yeshiva, he's supporting them. So every single second of the day, he buys them clothing. Oh, he's supporting them. And this is a tztaka that he wasn't obligated in. There was no chiyav over here for him to do so. So this is an example of osei tztaka bechol eis. Similarly, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar, he said another way that you can feel this possibility, this is when you raise other people's children in your house and you marry them off. So what a great tzedakah, because every single second, it's again very similar to the idea above the age of 6, you're technically not mechuyev. You're certainly not mechuyev for somebody else's children. So Nebuch, a child's an orphan, and you take him into your house, you adopt a child, and you raise that child, and then you marry that child off. That's an example of osei tztaka bechol eis, an unbelievably great tztaka that you're doing. Another pasuk from Tehillim, it says, hon v'osher, great wealth, b'veso, if you want to have that in your house, and nevertheless, if it's a kosko, omer this lot, and yet give tztaka, so what's an example of that? So Rav Huna v'Ruchista, each of them said something slightly different. Chad Amar, one of them, we don't know if it was Rav Huna or Ruchista, said that this pasuk, that you still have the hon and osher in your house, and at the same time, that tztaka will stand for you forever, Salome Torah umelamda. If you learn Torah and then you teach it to others, as Rashi says, Diva Matzah Salome Torah umelamda, miskayemes bo, you still have the Torah, you don't lose your Torah by teaching it to somebody else. Now, if you have $100, you give it to somebody else, you don't have the $100 anymore. The greatness of Torah is, I learned Torah, I learned this daf, and now I'm saying over the daf, and people are listening to the daf, so I didn't lose the daf, but I get credit for teaching it to other people. So therefore, hare hon v'osher b'veso, I still have the hon v'osher, the learning of the daf that I learned, that's in my house, that's in my pocket still. It's a Costco, man, it's a lot, but the fact that I'm teaching it to others, Asher Torah, Lulo, Lame, the Talmidim, so then that's the example of it's a Costco, Omedis, La'ad. So either Rav Huna or Rav Chista said this. The other one said, V'chanamar, this is an example of how you can have the home of Osher still to yourself, and yet, it's a Costco, Omedis, La'ad, is Hakosiv Torah, Devim, Ksuvim, a person who writes Svarim. In those days, they didn't have the printing press, so you had to hand write something. You hand wrote something, and then you lent it out. So then you still own it, as Rashi says. Zakosev asvarim kayom lo. I still have those svarim; they're mine. Shein on kolim. They don't get ruined. Vitzikosu a lot, but every time I lend it to somebody else, so I get credit as well. So therefore, this is an example of where you still retain the principal, but you're getting a tremendous amount of tztaka forever. Then we have another pasuk. The pasuk says, Urevanim Levanecha Shama Yisrael, a very famous pasuk, lots of songs about it. So it says that you will see your children's children, you'll see Banim Levanecha, your children will have children, and that's great. Shalom Yisrael. So what does this mean? Omer Shimon Levi, Shimon Levi says, Kivan Shabanim Levanecha, when you have grandchildren, your sons have sons, Shalom Yisrael. That's going to be priest to Klai Yisrael. Why is that? Because the Lo Ase Lide Chalitz of Yibam. If Rachman al Hassan, somebody doesn't have children, so then you have a Yibum or a Chalitza situation. And that's never good, because if you do Chalitza, you're never spitting in the person's face, right across them. You're not spitting at them, but you're spitting at them. That's a degrading thing. And if you do Yibum, so maybe she doesn't want to have Yibum done to her, but Yibum could be done, Baal Karcha. So therefore, it could lead to fights. Da'asi lidei Chalitza v'Yibum, fights. And therefore, it's great if you have grandchildren, obviously there'll be no need for Yibum or Chalitza. That's teretz number one, Urivan Lenecha Shama Yisrael. Rosh Shmuel ben Nachmani gives a different teretz. Amar, he says, Kivon Shebonim Levanecha, once your children have children, shalom al dayane Yisrael. The dayanim, they'll be at peace. Why? Because the lo asil in suye, there won't be fights. Why won't there be fights? So Rashi explains in the last Rashi on the daf in suye mi karov v'kodem benachla. When Nebuch, if you don't have children, so then this brother of yours says the Yerusha belongs to me. This uncle says the Yerusha belongs to me, and there's going to be fights. So this way, when there's children, there's no fights. Everybody knows the children inherit, and everybody else stays out of the picture. Now that's what Rashi says, but a lot of the Mefarshim have trouble with Rashi, and they ask, "What are you talking about?" The Torah states the whole Maisa of Benot Slavchad tells us the order of Yerusha. If you don't have children, so then it goes back up to the father. If the father's not alive, it goes to the father's other sons, to the brother of the dead person. And if they're not around, then it goes up to the grandfather, and then you go down to the cousins. So the Yerusha laws are very well spelled out. Why would there be fights? The law asil in suye. So that's a good question. The Ritva answers it, and he says a brilliant idea. He says, if one child has children and the other child does not, so it's going to lead to fights, because this one says, well, you know, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has five kids and Shimon has no kids. So Reuven's going to say, I need to get much more Yerusha than Shimon. I got five kids. He has no kids. And Shimon says, hey, listen, we're brothers. No Bukhar, so 50-50. You get half, I get half. In fact, you have five children. It's your problem, not my problem. So it's going to lead to fights as to how the Yerusha should be divided up. That's what the Ritva says. The Maharsha says a little bit different. He says, if you don't have any grandchildren, so then it's the Yerusha is going to go to the children. Now the father may say, this child doesn't deserve it. If he had grandchildren, so the grandchildren will get it. But the father may say, listen, I don't want this child to get it. And the father says, because this child's a Rasha, so the father says, I want the basin to give it to the relative that's the next closest. He do this in his lifetime, so it's not going against the laws of Yerusha. The father can give away all his money during a lifetime. So he tells the basin, go give out to the next relative. So they have to figure out who is the one that he really wants to give it to, and that the basin is going to have the hard time figuring that out, because it doesn't go by the laws of Yerusha. So therefore, this is the Maharsha's explanation of why this is going to lead to fights. Okay. Gemara continues and says, we quote the Mishnah, Zeh Medrash, Darash, Rabbi Elazar, Lifnei Chacham, V'chulei. That Rabbi Elazar had darshan the following medrash, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had darshan the following medrash in front of the Chachamim in Yavne, where he said that the ksuba, the habanim yirshu, the habanos yizonu. Now we turn to Nun Amud Beis to understand what this is talking about. And the Gemara says, Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, kamei de Rav Amnuna. Rabbi Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Amnuna. Now, Tosos points out, Tap Tosos, Mashva de Rabbi Yosef, Oya Kotan, me Rav Amnuna. The one who's sitting in front of the other one is the Kotan. But Tosos says, in the Perikama de Kedushin, in the first Perik of Kedushin, Mashva de Rav Amnuna, Tamido Shu Rav Chista, that Rav Amnuna was a Talmud Rav Chista. And he was, in fact, a colleague of Rav Amnuna. So therefore, Rav Amnuna is not as great as Rav Yosef. So, which one is it? So, Tosa says that in fact there are two Rav Amnunas. So, one was the greater one than Rav Yosef, and one was the Talmud of Rav Yosef. Okay. In any event, here we have the Talmud being Rav Yosef, and he's sitting in front of his Rebbe. The Yosef Rav Amnuna come, and Rav Amnuna was darshing and saying, Yishem she'en abonim yorshim elam karka. So too, kach ein abonos nizonos elam karka. Just like the sons only inherit from karka, what we call real estate, and not from metaltalin, movable property. So, kachein abanos nizonos elam karka. So too, the daughters only get their nizonos, their sustenance, from karka. But that's very, very problematic, because the first part we just said is that the boys only inherit karka, and everybody jumped on Rav Amnuna, right? Rav Amnuna said this, and everybody jumped on him. Avashalei kuli abba, right? On Shabbos, we have something called avshamilsa. We don't use things that make a lot of noise on Shabbos. So, Avash means like noise. Everybody jumped on him. Everybody made a big rash. The whole world, Kuli Alma, questioned Rav Amnuna and said, whoa, what are you talking about? The Shavik Ara, only if the father leaves real estate, Ara, who the Yarsel Ebenei, then the children inherit it. And if the father doesn't leave real estate, the father leaves seven cars. The Lo Shavik Ara, he doesn't have any real estate, but he has seven Teslas. So that's his Yerusha. Lo Yarsel Ebenei, the children don't inherit it. They're Hefker, these Teslas, and everybody can go and take them. Chas Shalom, of course the children inherit them. So what in the world are you saying, Rav Amnuna, that the children only inherit if there's karka? So Rav Yosef stands up for his Rebbe, Rav Amnuna, and he says, I'm only Rav Yosef. Rebbe, didn't you mean, v'dilma, ksubas benin dichrin ka'amamar, didn't the Rebbe, didn't the master, Rav Amnuna, say, this din, Shem Shein Abadim Yoshim Elam Karka, that the sons only inherit from Karka, that's a reference to something which we learned a few days ago, called Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Remember we had said that a father might be reluctant to give his daughter a lot of dowry because he's going to say, let's say the husband of the one he's giving the daughter to marry, he takes another wife at some point in time, and they have children from another wife, and then his daughter dies, the man who gave the daughter to the husband dies, so that property is going to be inherited by the husband. And then that property will divide it amongst the children of his daughter and as well as the children of the other wife. And he says, I don't want my money going to some other kids. I want it to go to my grandchildren, not that guy's other children. And therefore, he'll be reluctant to give a large dowry. So therefore, they wrote into the Ksuba what's called Ksubas Benin Dichrin, which states that as long as there is a certain type of inheritance, as long as there's enough in the inheritance to go and pay the ksuba to the first wife and to the second wife, and then if there's money left over, at least one zuz, so then this ksuba sbin dikwin goes into effect, and that, let's say, the father of the first wife, so his children will inherit all the dowry that he put in. Ksuba sbin dikwin. So therefore, in this situation, that's only if there's karka. Kishem she'en abonim yoshim ksuba sbin dikwin elam in a karka. Maybe that's Rav Yosef was saying to Rav Amnuna, isn't that what the Rebbe meant? And Amnuna said, absolutely yes, that's exactly what I meant. And Amalei, so Rav Amnuna responded back to Rav Yosef, Mar de Gavur Abba, Hu Yoda Mai Kamina. Instead of everybody else jumping at me and not understanding what I'm saying, you are a great Talmud, Rav Yosef. You understood what I was saying, and you, in fact, are 100% correct. Okay. Mark continues and says, Amar Bichia Bar Yosef, Rav Zon Mechite de Aliyah. Rav went and gave to the girls Nebuch of a man who died, and they gave these girls, he was Zan, he supported them from what is Chite da Aliyah, the wheat of the Aliyah, which we'll explain in a moment what exactly that is. Now, this is obviously not Karka, it's wheat of the Aliyah. So, the girls were starving, they had nothing to eat, they came to Rav, can you help us? And he said, yeah, sure, you can have this Chite de Aliyah. Now, what exactly does this mean? So they asked, what was Rav actually giving these girls when he said he gave them Chite de Aliyah? There's two possibilities. Did he really refer to Parnasa Havya? Was it a dowry? Parnasa is a term that we use for a dowry. As Rashi says, Parnasa Havai, lo mizonos hayu, elo Parnasas nidunya linase. We're not talking about that they needed a peanut butter sandwich. No, they had food. We was talking about, the girl said, we want to get married. We don't have any nedunya. So can you help us out? So he gave them chite da aliyah as their nedunya. And that, Rashi says, v'hayi gabya mimetaltali. That there's no rules on. That you can take from metaltalin. So if you're telling me that Rav gave them metaltalin, so then it's not a stira to say that the girls only inherit, just like the boys inherit the Ksubas Binin Dichwin, only from Karka, so the girls only inherit Nizonos, Elimina Karka. But this is not Nizonos. This is a separate thing called Parnasa. So that could even come from a Taltalin, and therefore there's no Stira. So what does it mean, Umay Aliyah? When it says the Aliyah, Me'iluya da Av, from the best properties that the father has, Uchel Shmuel. And that goes in accordance with what Shmuel said. What did Shmuel say? The Amish Shmuel, Le Parnasa, in regards to giving Parnasa to the girls, dowry to the girls, Nadunya to the girls, Shomim Ba'av. You estimate what the father would have given. So, first of all, if the father had, while he was alive, other children, other girls that got Nadunya, so they each got $1,000 Nadunya. So you give to the next one, after the father died, also $1,000 Nadunya. You know exactly what he wants. Or you estimate what was the relationship with the father to this child, and how much Nadunya would he give. So that's the first possibility. That it meant over here, when Rav gave Chite Daliyah, it's all about Nedunya. And that's no problem that it comes from Chite Daliyah, which is Metaltalin. Or maybe not. Odilma Mizoni Mamashaba. This was food. He was actually giving them food, which is Metaltalin. And therefore, Umay Aliyah, what does it mean, Aliyah? It means Midvarim Tovim Shenemru Baliyah. It's from the good things that were said over in the Aliyah. The Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, the reason why Yosef said, Ba'aliyah, when they were in the Chacham, were in the Aliyah, and they figured out many dinim over there, Hiskinu Shihu Benos Nizonos Minamataltalin. So there they made a change in the din, and they allowed the girls to go and collect even from Mitaltalin. So the original din was like we just said, that they could only collect Nizonos from Karka. But the rabbi subsequently came around and said, no, we're going to let the girls go and collect even from Mitaltalin. So these are the two sides to the coin over here. what did Rav mean? Did Rav talk about Nidunya? And then, of course, it could be metalflin, but regular Nizonos food is only from Karka, or no, that the rabbis changed it around. And they said, even from metalflin, the girls can be supported with food. So that's the two questions, the two sides of the coin. And Toshma, we bring a raya that Rav actually gave the girls the peanut butter. He gave them chite, the aliyah, he gave them actual food, not Nidunya. Because Bidei the Rabbi Banai, in the hands of Rabbi Banai, who was Rabbi Banai? He was Ahua, the brother of Rav Chiya Bar Abba. He was the brother of Rav Chiya Bar Abba. So this Rabbi Banai had in his hands, Bidei the Rabbi Banai, Havu Metaltalin the Yasmi. He was the apotropis for this Yisomim, and he had Metaltalin that he was in charge of for this Yisomim. And also, Lekami de Shmuel, the girls, the daughters of the man who passed away, came to Shmuel and said, can you please support us? Now, he only had metaltalin. So, Amalei, Shmuel said, Zil Zun. He told Rabbi Binoy, yes, go and support the girls. Give them from the metaltalin. So clearly you see, my lab the Mazoni, isn't this talking about actual Mazonos? And therefore we see that the din was changed around, and no longer are the girls only Zonin Minakarka, but Habanos Nizonos, even from metaltalin. Oh, asked and answered. And this is in accord with what Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yossi said. What did Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yossi say? That we just said a minute ago. Ba'aliyah hiskinu shehu binos nizonos min hametaltalin. So clearly, we've asked the question, does it mean nedunya or does it mean nizonos? And from this ma'isa with Rabbi Binoy in Shmuel, we clearly see, like Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yossi, that it means mizonos. So Gemara says, lav dafka, lo. Hasam lefarnos haboy. There, it's talking about nedunya. It's not talking about zon. Food. Shmuel Taimei, and Shmuel goes according with his reasoning that he expressed elsewhere. What did he say? The Amar Shmuel, Lefarnasa Shomim Ba'ab. Ah, that was the first part that we just brought down a minute ago. That Shmuel says that in regards to Nidunya, you estimate what the father would have given. Was he a generous person? Was he a stingy person? What did he give to the other girls? And that's what you do over here as well. So therefore, Shmuel is going Lishitaso Letaimei, that we're dealing over here with Nidunya. And Nidunya can be collected from a Tatlet. But we don't have an answer. Could, in fact, Nizonos mean that they get it from Metaltalin, or is it only from Karka? Moore continues and says, to other Maisa Shahaya, Hava Uvda bin Ardoi. There was a similar situation in Ardoi where the orphan girls came to be asked for Mizonos from Metaltalin, Vidun Dayani din Ardoi. And the judges there ruled that yes, they could get the food from Metaltalin. Which is, by the way that it subsequently was, in fact, changed by Aliyah, and is the, in fact, din nowadays. Furthermore, the Pumbadiza, the same mice according to Pumbadiza, that the orphan girl said, can we please have Nizonos from Metaltali? Agbe Rav Chana Bar Bizna, and in fact, Rav Chana Bar Bizna gave them Metaltalin to go in and give them food. However, that was the opinion of the Dayanim in Ardoi and Rav Chana Bar Bizna, but Rav Nachman didn't like this. Amalahu Rav Nachman told them, both situations, the Dayanim Nardoi and Rav Chana Bar Bizna, you better return it. Zilu, go, ahadru, and return the money that you took from the orphans, the male orphans, the metaltalin that you took for them to support their sisters, go back and give it to them. Because you made a mistake. Vilo, and if you don't go back, I will go and take it from you. Magbino luchu, lapdenaichu minaichu. I will go and take your houses. I will garnish your houses. I will take away your houses and pay back those people because you took their money incorrectly. Now, Tosos says at the bottom, Tosos, Amalu, Zilu Adrinu, says, Toib in Dvar Mishnah. They made a mistake in Dvar Mishnah, which we learned earlier, our Mishnah, that says, Habanim Yirshu, Vehabanos Nizonos. So therefore, it's only from Karka. And therefore, as we just learned, you made a mistake in Dvar Mishnah, and Tosos continues, and so Choshev Lu Rav Nachman, that they made a mistake in Dvar Mishnah. No, why didn't he do it himself? That's what Yochel Achzira did. He himself could have done. He didn't need their permission. He was the head dayan, and he could have overruled them. Nevertheless, he said, it'd be better if they did it themselves. If the judges in Nardoi told the litigants, we made a mistake, and Rav Chana Bar Bizna told the litigants they made a mistake, this way everybody would accept it better than if a superior court overruled them, they would be unhappy. Okay. Moore continues and says, Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, these two great first-generation Amorim from Eretz Yisrael, Sovra, they thought, Lemeza mi mitatli. They also want to give the orphan girls from mitatli and not from Karka. Amalu Rav Yaakov Aridi. Rav Yaakov Aridi says, no, you can't do that. No, so the Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlakish, lo avdu ba, uvda. that which Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish didn't do. You're going to do Atun Avdin Ba'uvda. You're going to go and do what they didn't do. They were above you. And therefore, if they didn't do it, you shouldn't do it either. Similarly, Rabbi Elazar saw the Mezami Metaltalit. Rabbi Elazar also wanted to give some orphan girls their support from Metaltalit. So Amar the father of Rabbi Shimon Eliyakim. Rabbi Shimon Eliyakim said, Rebbe, Yodei Ani Bach, She'ein Midas Hadin Ata Oseh Ala Midas Rachmanus. I know that you're not saying that this is the din. And you're just trying to cajole the brothers into giving their sisters food. I hear you. I respect you very, very much. However, people are going to see this. And they're going to see at the end of the day that the brothers, after talking to you, gave food to their sisters from a Metaltalit. So people can say, oh, the din is, El Shema Yiro Tamidim V'Yikabu Halacha L'Doros. So people are going to say, oh, I saw this Maaseh Shehaya. I saw that Rabbi Elazar went and took the Metaltalit from the orphan sons, and he gave it to the orphan daughters to support them. That must be the din. And therefore, it could lead to a takala, and therefore, that's why you shouldn't do it. Okay. One more mice to show you. We have the Girsa Ha'udiyasa. A certain man came. Others have the Girsa Ha'idiyasa. A certain woman came. The coming to Rabbi Yosef. Whoever it was came in front of Rabbi Yosef, and basically it was either the girls themselves who were asking for being supported from a Metaltalit, or was a man asking on behalf of the orphan girl, could she be supported from a Metaltalit? So Amalahu, Rav Yosef told the sons who inherited the estate, Havu lo mitamre de albudja, go and give her some of the tamarim, some of the dates that had fallen from the tree into budja, is a basket. So as Rashi points out, budja's machatzolos shenosin tachas adekolim kishigordrin hatamarim. When you go and take off the fruits from the date palm, you take off the dates from the date palm, so some of them fall down on the ground. So you put out mats over there to collect them. So he said, those are tlushin, they're metatali, but go feed the orphan girl from those tamarim that are tlushin from the metatali. So that's where Yossi Paskin. So his Talmud, Abaye says, how can you do that, Rebbe? Amalei, Abaye says to him, Rebbe, ilu bal chovava, let's say it was a man who was owed money. Would you let him go collect from metatali? Ki hai gabda, mi have a yav le amar? Would you, Rebbe, go and give metatali to a bal chov? Doesn't work that way. The bal chov can only go and collect from the karka that's leaned, but not from metaltalin. Again, we're talking here about the orphan sons who inherited these metaltalin. So a bal chov of the father can only collect from karka. He can't go collect from metaltalin. So since you wouldn't go and let a bal chov collect it, why are you letting the sisters go and get supported from the metaltalin? So Rav Yossi says to Abaye, you misunderstood me. Amalei, the chazia lebudda kamina. I didn't mean the actual ones that had fallen to the ground and are tlushin and are metaltalin, but the ones that are about to fall to the ground. They're still attached to the tree, but any minute they're going to fall, that's what I was referring to. And those are considered mechubarim. That's karka. So just like a bachovu collected, I also allowed the sisters of the orphan sons who inherited this tree to go and give this to the sisters. It's not called Metatli, it's called Karka. We turn to Nun Aleph and Mun Aleph, where Abai says that's still not good, Rebbe. He says, so, bottom line is, Kol Omen Ligzos Kigazos Domen. We have a famous rule that something that's about to be cut off is considered that it's already cut off. So, for example, if there's a chatzitz on a person, but it's going to be cut off, so we view that as if it's already cut off. So, if it's attached to a person, it's not a chatzitza. But if it's going to be detached, we view it, it's already detached, so it's considered a chatzitza. And you have many other examples of this as well. Omed ligzos kegozos domi. So these dates that are about to be detached from the tree, it's still hanging on the tree, but they're about to fall down onto the budja, the machzelis at the bottom, so it's omed ligzos kegozos domi. So we should view them as detached already. And therefore, it's not karka, it's metaltali. So you got the same problem. So it's the same problem. Rio says, no, that's not a problem. I'm talking about where they still have a need for the tree. They're still going to grow. They're going to still benefit from being on the tree. You're right. If they fell down now, they would be able to be eaten. They're mature enough, they could be eaten. However, they still benefit from being on the tree. And if they benefit from being on the tree, so then they're not considered as if they're tlushin. They are considered as if they are still mechubarim. Therefore, they're called karka, and therefore, that's what I meant. You can go give the sisters of the orphan sons who inherited from their father from these tamarim that are going to fall down. They're almost ready to fall down, but they still benefit by being on the tree a little bit longer. With this, we conclude today's share.